And change is somehow painful. We have to adjust. It takes energy just to adjust from cold to heat, from heat to cold, from happy to sad, from feeling optimistic to pessimistic. Yeah, and part of the practice, of course, is to learn to flow with that change and to enable ourselves to learn to have loving kindness towards all the different moods and emotions and weathers and stages and seasons of life. So for those of you who were in the Sutta discussion yesterday, which is not actually that many of you, I don't think, I thought that I would like to continue the theme to some extent and try something rather new and maybe novel. And maybe it'll end up being a bit scrambled up, but we'll just see how it works. And that is related to the six senses. So yesterday we looked at this really wonderful sutta called the Mahasalayatanika Sutta. So the Salayatanas are the six sense bases. So this is the sutta on the great sixfold base. In other words, the great sutta, we could say, on the sixfold base. And really, we're talking about everything that comprises what it means to be a human being. How do we experience the world? We experience the world through the six senses. Without the six senses, there is no world. There is no experience. So we experience life through the eye, through the ear, through the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. And because of this, we also get ourselves into a lot of trouble. So there's a little passage in this sutta that explains the process of how experience arises through these senses. Of course, this is picking up from having the senses in the first place, so from already having taken birth, complete with these six senses. And of course, some people might not have the eye faculty if they're born blind, or maybe they're born deaf. So some faculties might not be in place, but basically, as long as at least four, I would say, because you could be blind and deaf, are in place, then it's enough for a life, right? A human life. And Ajahn Brahm likes to say, you know, some people think that the body is, how does he put it? He basically says that the point of the body is to have these six senses. So we take birth in order to see, smell, taste, touch, feel, and think. And so they are both part and parcel of being born, and also they are kind of doors through which craving arises. So I thought we would spend a little time today sending metta to these six sense bases, realizing that they are conditioned. And of course, they bring us a certain amount of pleasure and happiness, and also rather a lot of trouble when we don't know how to handle them skillfully. And yesterday we talked a lot about having equanimity at each one of these six sense bases. So equanimity towards the sights and towards the conscious awareness of those sights, the contact of the sight and the eye, and the feeling that arises contingent on all of those things coming together. So when the eye meets a form, there is contact, there is eye consciousness, and then there's a certain feeling that arises, which is either pleasant, painful, or somewhere in between. And as a result of that, we crave, we get infatuated, we have lust for the eye sense door. And it says that when one abides inflamed by lust, fettered, infatuated, contemplating gratification, then the five components of existence are built up for oneself in the future. And one's craving, the craving that brings renewal of being and is accompanied by delight and lust, and delights now here, now there, increases. As a result of that craving increasing, one's bodily and mental troubles increase. One's bodily and mental torments increase, and one's bodily and mental fevers increase, and one experiences bodily and mental suffering. So this comes about when we don't understand the ear, the eye, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind as they actually are, basically conditioned, impermanent, suffering, and, of course, non-self. So we have these things, and how do we take care of them? So I thought today we could maybe do some guidance on coming in contact with these six senses separately, one by one, and just sending them some metta, noticing how they work, how they, in a way, support our life, right? There is some gratification there. They enable us to do so much. The ear sense door enables us to listen to the Dhamma, for example, right? And when we investigate any of these six sense bases, insight has the chance to arise. So to have a feeling of both, maybe just to say loving kindness towards these things, rather than just straight equanimity, having loving kindness, because loving kindness carries that sense of appreciation and gratitude, but it also cools anything like lust and craving. Loving kindness is the opposite of craving. It carries a certain amount of acceptance, a certain amount of peace. So anyway, let's try and see how we go. And as usual, if this isn't working for you, or if you feel you're using too much effort and you prefer to just relax and, you know, just settle into a state of kindness towards your body and mind in a general way, that's perfectly fine. Okay, how does that sound? Any questions so far on any, and feelings? Some question from Carmen, or it means... It's a good idea. All right, let's go for it. Excellent. I'm glad to get a bit of a thumbs up for the encouragement here. Great. Extra thumb is coming. All right. So just relaxing back into a comfortable posture. And it is a hot day. Both people in here, apart from myself, are already prone. So if you want to lie down, that's okay. Only the teacher can't have that privilege, but you all can if you need to. Otherwise, you may cross your legs, you may stretch them, you may lean on the back of a chair or a wall or a sofa, or you may sit upright and cross-legged, whatever works for you. So please respect your body as it is right now. And just gently coming in contact with any feelings in the body. Usually we first come in contact with the feelings that are more intense, more obvious, perhaps disagreeable. Our mind tends to turn towards that which is problematic. The negativity bias that we have. So just noticing and seeing if there's anything we can do to alleviate any discomfort. Or maybe it gives you the opportunity to develop kindness towards any part of your body that is tight or tense. It needs a little more care. And we do this by becoming aware of that body part and also infusing our awareness with a sense of kindness, a sense of friendship, which sometimes looks like warmth, care, sometimes looks like space, acceptance, allowing things to be. Maybe softening the awareness, bringing more gentleness to the way that we're away, or spreading it to other parts of the body as well. So we're not hyper-focused on anything problematic. But we hold it in spacious mind. And just allowing the body to relax. allowing yourself to take a few, perhaps slightly deeper, slightly slower breaths. To deepen that sense of arriving. Perhaps of coming home. Coming home to yourself. Your body and your mind. See if you can already pick up the beauty of your intention to be here, to practice, to develop loving kindness. It's a wholesome state of mind. Notice how that feels. Notice the care that's present already in your mind. And perhaps we can start by gently wishing ourselves well. Connecting to any feelings that are pleasant or neutral. Maybe a sense of ease. That sense of care for yourself, goodwill. Maybe repeating phrases of loving kindness towards yourself that were meaningful for you. Phrases such as, may I be happy. And we're talking about real happiness. May I be peaceful. May I be free. If other words come to mind, other good wishes, perhaps for your safety, your contentment, ease, health, please adapt and make it meaningful for you. Just taking some moments to spread loving kindness to yourself. Repeating these phrases and listening, pausing in the space between each phrase to allow a felt sense of goodwill to arise. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. Continuing at your own speed and enjoying giving yourself this gift of love and kindness. Now, together with that sense of goodwill, just gently bringing your awareness to the eye sense door. To your eyes, you'll be feeling any sensations around the eyes. Can you get any visual impression of the eyes? And sending them some care. Recognizing that your eyes enable you to see forms when the two come in contact. An eye consciousness arises. A completely natural process. The gift of sight. Forms that are agreeable, forms, sights that are disagreeable, giving rise to feelings that are pleasant or unpleasant, or somewhere in between. Again, a natural process that without proper care can lead to craving, infatuation, at the eye sense door. Just allowing the eye sense door to cool down through loving kindness and care. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving the eye sense door and its processes, forgiving ourselves for sometimes getting entangled there. Just allowing the eyes. The impressions of sights and all the feelings that arise, just allowing them to be. Recognizing the eye sense door for what it is. And just relaxing any craving for sights and for the feelings that arise. Due to the eye sense door. And now bringing your awareness your kind awareness to the ears, the ear sense door. And any sensations around your ears and inside the ear. Ears that allow us to hear loving words, harsh words, words of Dhamma. Sounds that arise when the ear comes in contact with them, and consciousness, ear consciousness arises. Leading to feelings that are pleasant sometimes, sometimes painful, sometimes in between. Just a process, dependent on contact at the ear sense door. A process that without proper understanding, proper care, can lead to lust and infatuation for sounds and for the feelings that arise based on contact between the ear and the various sounds. That's being kind to the whole process. Grateful that you have ears that can hear, and compassionate for this process that is impersonal, conditioned, and can lead to suffering when we don't understand the process. Having metta and compassion for any trouble that has come about in your life through the ear sense door, not understanding the conditioned nature of sound. Letting the ear sense door cool down. Just send the ear sense door your care. Now bringing your kind awareness to your nose, the nose sense door. Which, when coming into contact with smells, leads to nose consciousness arising. And feelings that arise as a result of that. If the smells are deemed pleasant, then pleasant feelings arise. Unpleasant leads to unpleasant feelings. Or maybe feelings that are neutral, neither painful nor pleasant, arising due to contact at the nose and store. Just noticing how smell, nose consciousness can lead to craving. We don't understand this process. Craving for the feelings associated with pleasant smells, or aversion to the feelings associated with unpleasant smells. A dustbin on a warm, hot day. Just an in-person process. Condition. Allowing us to experience the world of smell. We don't understand the process, sometimes leads to suffering. Here we have an opportunity to understand. Deepen our insight into the way these senses work. And allow everything to calm down. The whole world of smell to become cool. Now bringing your awareness to the tongue. The tongue sense door. Reach through contact with tastes. Turns on the sense of tasting, tongue consciousness. And as a result of this, feeling arises, pleasant, unpleasant, or maybe somewhere in between. And just noticing how those tastes can lead to craving. Craving for more, craving to get rid of tastes we don't enjoy. We don't understand this process, the conditioned nature of taste consciousness, tongue consciousness. How the various flavors can pull us around, cause lust, infatuation. And lead to trouble. So just having a sense of kindness and compassion towards the tongue sense door, and all the feelings that arise due to contact. letting the whole world of taste cool down. And we're bringing your kind awareness to the whole body. Any feelings in the body that are easy to notice, as well as any feelings that might be more subtle. Whatever you notice that the body sends store, the sense of physical touch. Noticing how body consciousness arises when there's contact between the body and anything tangible. Maybe your cushion, the hardness of the floor, the temperature of the air, the touch of your clothing, or the internal bodily processes themselves, which turn on through contact, body consciousness, feeling of touch, bodily sensation. It is either pleasant or unpleasant, or somewhere in between. And see if you can bring a sense of love and kindness to all the feelings that arise dependent on contact between the body and its objects. Infusing those feelings with care, with kindness. Allowing bodily sensations to calm and settle down. Noticing how this love and kindness diminishes craving. And suffering decreases. This is so metta to feelings in the body. Perhaps starting to notice feelings related to love and kindness itself. Maybe a sense of lightness, softness, warmth, expansiveness. Maybe tingling around the chest, around the heart. sending loving kindness to the whole process of feeling through the body sense door, impersonal condition. Not me, not mine, not a self. Now bringing your kind awareness to the mind, to the mental contents that arise dependent on mind, thoughts, images, impressions related to the five senses. Memories of sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and touches, or fantasies about those things in the future, where you go, what you see. Maybe noticing qualities in your mind like loving kindness, or maybe other emotions. Maybe sleepiness or energy, maybe irritation, maybe joy. All these emotions arising due to contact of the mind and various mental contents. The things that arise in the mind. The result of which is pleasant or unpleasant, or somewhere in between. Sending metta to your own mind, to your emotional world. Recognizing that your mind is also out of control, impersonal, a process. Mind consciousness arises only when there's a mental object. It's conditioned, and without proper understanding of this process, it can lead to a great deal of distress. Just sending loving kindness and compassion to your own mind, the mental contents and the feelings that arise dependent on the whole process, contact. The mind sense door. Noticing that loving kindness is a mind object itself. An object, an experience, a mental state that you can trust in. And that the more you value, the more it grows. Just dwelling in loving kindness to whatever extent are able to right now. Loving kindness as a feeling of warmth, happiness. Or loving kindness as a sense of acceptance and making peace. Sabbe Satan, Sabbe Pana, Sabbe Buddha, Sabbe Pugala. Sabbe Atta Bhava Pariyapana Sabba Ittiyo Sabbe Purisa Sabbe Ariha Sabbe Anariya, Sabbe Deva, Sabbe Munusa, Sabbe Vinipadika. Avera hontu, abhyapaja hontu, aniga hontu, sukhiyatanam pariharantu, dukkha mujjantu. Yadalada sampatito mavigajantu kamasata. So just noticing the metta in your mind, the effect of the chanting, the sound at the ear sense door, any feelings that have arisen as a consequence. Just sending them metta too. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes to end the meditation. And I should also read out the little paragraph at the end of, in the middle of the sutta, really, about what happens when we are wise to these sense doors. So the Buddha says, when one abides uninflamed by lust, unfettered, uninfatuated, contemplating danger, that's in these six senses, then the five components of existence, that's the five khandhas, are diminished for oneself in the future. And one's craving, that craving which brings renewal of being, is accompanied by delight and loss. And delights, now here, now there, is abandoned. Craving is abandoned. One's bodily and mental troubles are abandoned. One's bodily and mental torments are abandoned. One's bodily and mental fevers are abandoned, and one experiences bodily and mental pleasure. So metta can be a way to to this. So how was that for people here? Did you get an appreciation of the senses? At least a sense of what they are, how they operate a little bit? It'd be very nice to hear from anyone who wants to speak. If we have time, if it worked, if it didn't work, any doubts, any feelings that have arisen? Oh, here we are, Dante.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much, Honorable Panda. I think that what was profound for me was I probably limited my senses and the awareness of in my meditation in the past more to seeing, hearing, smelling, and that sort of thing. But the fact that you went that level deeper about the lost aspect was really important to me and very profound. So I hope there's a chance to do that again.
Great. Yeah, why not? We can try again in a different way or maybe in a similar way. Great. Ginny says, I feel still. Rachel, beautiful. That was wonderful. Yep, please leave if you need to. Always welcome and goodbye. Very soothing. You stayed with your intestines a lot of the time because they really needed it. Your guidance was incredibly helpful. Excellent. Is that an example of what you mean by sensory strain? It could be, yes, yes. Learning to relate to our senses in a wise and skillful way. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was more like a direct contemplation of the senses and the way that feelings arise due to the senses coming in contact with their respective objects and the consciousness that arises as a result of that. But certainly by being more mindful of the way these senses work, it's going to help a lot with sense restraint. It's almost like an underlying practice that can really help us, I think, to notice just how these senses are working in daily life. And when, you know, we are kind of craving or getting upset about things, we can maybe trace it back to unskillful use of the senses or allowing these senses to be unrestrained. So, yes, I think it's a good practice to cultivate sense restraint further, definitely. Thank you. It was peaceful, amazing to see how much we can get tangled up in the senses. Exactly. All the more noticeable given your neighbour has started doing DIY. Yeah, yeah. I think Manuri had your hand up. Do you want to contribute something before I come back to the chat?
Yeah, well, I think you answered that. What I wanted to know is, like, what did the sutta intend originally? Was it like daily sensory strain, or was it like daily sensory strain spreading across into the meditation with all the six senses?
Yeah, yeah. I guess the suttas sort of give us a framework for understanding the way things work. And then because this was always an oral tradition and it was given to people who were practicing, you know, who had really, really strong sila, who would live monastic lives, I imagine that the way they would hear this is like a direct teaching, almost like a meditation.
Yeah.
So I tried to use some of these words to kind of, you know, lead us into the meditations in a direct experiential way. So I'm pretty sure that people would have been having a direct experience of this as the Buddha was speaking and then taking it into every other aspect of their life. So I think with the Dhamma, we can pick up any teaching and use it at the level of right speech, use it at the level of intention, use it at the level of restraint, of effort, you know, which is part of restraint is a part of right effort. And gradually those things will lead to deeper and deeper stillness. So it really, to an extent, it depends what we're doing when we hear the Dhamma.
Yeah.
But it also depends to a point how we're practicing, you know, at that in any given time. If people are sitting there in meditation, then this is going to lead probably to some insight and as a consequence to deeper stillness. And as a consequence of deeper stillness in this sutta, it was obviously trying to lead people to right view of a stream winner, right? So all of those factors eventually come together depending on where we are in our practice, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I read it again because I wanted to listen to you, and then I realized last night it was not yet uploaded. So I listened to Bhikkhu Bodhi
Yeah.
And then he was stressing again, like, yes, these are a group of people who had sila. So then
Right.
what do you do after sila?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also to remember that it still works, even if, you know, your sila is still forming. I mean, most of us don't have rock solid sila. Even a stream winner can still make mistakes, right? So we have enough sila already to be able to practice with things like the senses. And I would say this is definitely helping with sense restraint, because we're learning how the senses work and how they, you know, they give rise to like craving if we're not aware of where these feelings are coming from, right? We actually think these feelings really matter. We don't realize these feelings are conditioned by contact of these senses. Essentially, that's all they are. But also it leads to deep insight into understanding the process of the body and the mind, how they relate together. Because, you know, the senses are like physical bases, but when they come in contact with their respective objects, they lead to consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, these are aspects of the mind. So it's like how the mind and body are working and how these feelings arise and how we get carried away with them when we don't understand how conditioned they are. So I think it's a insight practice as well. Yeah. Thanks for the question. It's fascinating stuff. I love these kind of practices because I'm really interested in kind of disassembling this whole thing that we take to be a self. And I just thought it might be nice to sort of add some loving kindness into it, because that's one way of, you know, not bypassing the senses. Like somebody yesterday in the group said, what if we just develop a kind of awareness that's sort of equanimous, but sort of flat and kind of reactionless, you know, and doesn't really feel. And that's the danger if we try and, you know, just develop a kind of flatness, a flat response to the impressions of the senses. We kind of bypass a lot of what's happening. So I think loving kindness enables us to meet our experience and actually understand it a little bit deeper with more kindness. And of course, it helps to cool things down. Okay, felt healing. Since a car accident, my responses and emotions to sight and sound have changed. Excellent. This was very easing, and I will continue this practice. Thank you so much. Good, 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 good. Yeah, great. Karma in mind, uplifted in the body. I enjoyed it, feeling very thankful and soft. Touch consciousness was powerful for me because it's associated with psychosomatics, like muscle pain in the legs. It was really helpful to get in touch with this, especially within the whole sequence of the various consciousnesses. Yeah, right? To sort of see that they are all different and yet kind of somehow connected, because you can experience consciousness clearly at one of the other senses, and you feel it flow in the body, touch as well. So body consciousness, in a sense, brings a lot of it together. Yeah. So pertinent, these fundamental Buddhist teachings. Yeah. Deep, deep stuff. Thanks for mixing up this meditative approach with good old metta. Thank you sincerely. Yeah, that's a sort of a creative license. But, you know, metta's a part of our mindful awareness, right? Mindfulness should be co-joined with loving kindness at all times. So it's quite a valid practice. It's a very valid practice. When tangled in the senses, it seems there's not much I at that point, although we normally experience as a mass of I when tangled in wrong view. Right. It's interesting because, yeah, when we're completely swept away by the senses, it might seem that there's not much I in the sense that there's not much awareness, perhaps. Maybe that's what you mean, if we associate ourselves with clarity and awareness. But actually, it does create a sense of self, because we are literally in that experience. And there's no actual awareness of the experience as being conditioned. So it's taking a step back from that experience actually helps us to see how this I is generated in the first place, right? And start to see that the wrong view is in thinking that all of this is somehow personal. That's part of that wrong view. So I think being tangled in the senses, yeah, we can lose ourselves, so to speak, but it's not quite the same thing as understanding the conditioned nature of the self, of what we take to be a self. This is kind of disassembling the idea of that self into sort of processes that are happening as a result of just having these senses. It's like how the sensory apparatus gets turned on and how that can lead to a lot of suffering for ourselves. Yeah. Thank you. That was so helpful to see the frustration, tension of having these senses when the mind is being critical. Good, good, good. That's where the metta can come in. Yeah. It is a process. Therefore, don't criticize yourself for that. It's natural. But how do we handle it skillfully? And also being accepting of the mind and its busyness, able to see how the senses affect and create self, using loving kindness, leading to cooling and clearer seeing where it comes from. Fantastic. That's pretty much what I hoped it may do. Also that it's okay to be human. Yes, in fact, it's a blessing to be human. The Buddha said it's a wonderful birth to have. We are born to this life to practice, exactly, to practice with these senses. We have senses. We can't avoid them. We can't bypass them. So it's important to work with what we've got and to gain wisdom from insight into those processes. Yeah. I often forget the mind sense, yeah, and don't notice how it causes suffering. It's less obvious to you than the other five senses. Yes, that's right. It can be less obvious because it's kind of, or it seems that it's always there in the background, right? It seems that way. But one of the really powerful practices, or one of the powerful places that this practice can come to, especially based on deep meditation, probably it's necessary for to have, like, you know, to be able to enter states that are free from the five hindrances, is that all these six senses are actually separate. So the mind sense definitely, you know, is often obsessed with memories and thoughts of the other five senses, but it's actually a different sense. And it's as though the eye sees a sight or a sound and eye consciousness turns on, and then the mind knows that that's happened. So mind sense doors right behind it. But it, with such quick succession that it seems like it's always there. Even for us, right, it seems like the eye sense is always there and you're hearing me at the same time as seeing me, or for example. But actually it's one after the other, one after the other, very, very rapid succession. But that's something that's possible to see only in deep insight practice. And I think the mind sense door, to really see how that's happening, because it's incredibly fast, it's only really possible at a depth after jhana, because that's the first time you've actually had an experience of mind consciousness without the other senses. So you can start to isolate it from the other senses and understand the difference in its nature and its qualities, and to see how that too is dependently arisen. Okay. You can't speak, but you have a comment. Just great to learn and see and use the useful aspects of sense consciousness towards Dhamma rather than more trouble. Exactly, yeah. It's not inevitable that it leads to trouble. It leads to trouble only when we're not aware and we're reacting blindly to the feelings that arise based on these senses. So even just working at the level of the feelings that arise is enough for now. You might not always be able to determine whether it arose due to the eye or due to the nose, but sometimes we can, because we can see we're craving for sights or sounds. And actually what it is the feelings that arise dependent on those sights and sounds, right? If the sights gave us no feeling at all, we didn't feel happy or sad or whatever, it wouldn't matter, would it, what we saw? It would make no difference. It's always the feelings, the pleasure, the pain, the somewhere in between that we're craving for, or that we're averse to, yeah, or that we're just deluded about. So working with feeling is very powerful. Grateful to see your dear friend Fiona join from China for the first time. I noticed Fiona arrived later, and very happy to have you here, Fiona. I didn't know that you were friends with Fiona, so that's wonderful. And I hope you'll come back another time. All right, we are over time, and over here we have things to do, and I'm sure you have things to do as well. So please see if you can proceed through the day with more awareness of how these senses are operating, and see if you can bring compassion and kindness to those senses, and also to your own reactions. Be kind to yourself. And sometimes that means accepting when you've reacted. Sometimes that means moving away from a situation in which you're likely to react in harmful ways. So, yeah, wishing you well for the day and for the weekend. And we'll see you on Wednesday for some chanting. Take care. You can unmute yourselves now if you wish, and we can hear your lovely voices. A wave goodbye.